All right, hello and welcome to Hot Air. This is the fifth episode of the season. My name's Greg Esser, of course. I'd like to thank Broke Royal for playing, or the Broke Royals, excuse me, for playing that great intro music that we've got. I'm here today with Brad Scott. Brad Scott, you have any wise words you want to kick us off with here?
Hey, I grew up playing in Frederick, Maryland. Want to give a shout out to my buddies with Frederick Area Ultimate. Looking forward to seeing you guys out at some games in the rest of the season.
Great. I think you made better use of your intro than anyone so far on this podcast has, so I appreciate it. We're going to get right into the fun here, but I'm going to give everyone out there a brief kind of agenda, if I can be so organized, and then Brad and I are going to work to break that agenda as we go on here. And then the other thing I want to remind you of, Brad, you had mentioned that you'd listened before, and that's great. Breeze puns play. You know, if you've got something, I don't think we've ever heard anyone get a little double entendre on the word drift, but I'd love to see it out here. I always challenge people. The word gusto seems like low-hanging fruit. Wind puns play. We're the breeze, and we embrace that. In terms of things I want to talk about today, though, you're the D-line captain. Exciting to get you in here. We've got a lot of offensive guys, and between, you know, and I'm referring, of course, to their demeanor. They offend me. But also they play on the O-line. You're a D-line guy, and I think that's something fun and exciting to talk about. You just played a big road trip up in Canada and upstate New York. That's exciting. We'll talk about that. We've got upcoming games, two of them, one here, one in New York, and those have big playoff ramifications. And then the final thing we'll talk about, we'll delta right in there like the pros we are. We'll talk about that playoff picture, the Breeze currently 4-4, and then what you guys need to do as the season ends to be in those top three spots, advance in the Eastern Division. Sound good?
Sounds great.
Cool. Surprise attack, breaking the agenda immediately. Breeze signed two new guys last week. They signed Antwon Davis and Troy Holland, two local guys. Playing in Davis is a Virginia Tech guy, Troy Holland a Georgetown guy, young guys, sticking with a very common thematic of the Breeze this year. I think eight guys or so are 24, 25 and under, including yourself, so kind of that building towards the future. Do you have any playing experience with these guys?
Yeah, definitely. I've played against Antwon Davis for a couple years now, with myself on American Hyperbole and him on AG. It's local mixed teams
in the area. This is the club scene we're talking about now.
Yes, the club ultimate. And Antwon is a monster in the end zone, really gets up big.
Big 6'2 guy.
Really big guy, knows how to use his body, gets up, and is already in his first game with us in Philadelphia, was a huge asset. Troy Holland, I haven't played with him as much, but he came with high recommendations from other Georgetown alum like Matt Kerrigan, mm-hmm. and Ben Fang. And with truck stop tryouts, I've been playing with him a little bit, as well as the Philly game. Both of them are huge assets, and I think as we go through the second half of the season, they'll definitely help a lot with our D-line.
Are they both D-line guys?
They're both D-line guys, big guys that can shut people down. You know, Troy jokingly is like, my job's simple. All I need to do is make sure that my offender never touches the disc.
Fair enough.
He goes out there and does that. And Antwon just patrols the skies.
Okay.
So I think adding those two gentlemen to our already fantastic D-line will be a huge asset.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, I heard directly, of course, when the Breeze signed him, and I saw all the social media lighting up with the acquisitions of these guys. Maybe those are the part of the game changers, spoiler alert we'll talk about later as the Breeze try to make the playoffs here. But the big reason that I really wanted to get you on, as I said, the other, folks that have listened a couple times heard me talk to Berg the other week, one of the guys that's really a staple on the O-line, but you're my first chance to really talk with one of the big pieces and the captain of the defensive line. So tell me a little bit, first of all, how you lead a D-line. You know, what is your leadership style?
Definitely. I always thought you need to lead by example. You know, if I'm showing up to practice every week with a positive attitude, trying my hardest, really winning my matchups, that my teammates are going to see that, they're going to work harder, they're going to try harder, and it's going to build the chemistry that we need on that D-line better. Mm-hmm. A big thing definitely is the positivity. Every team, no matter what level, is going to mess up. You're going to get broken.
Well, it's hard on the D-line. You're not scoring 80% of the time,
exactly.
And you got to keep your head up.
Exactly. You have to stay positive because in this high level that we play at, it's almost more of a mental game. So if we can win the mental battle, that's a huge part of it. And I think that's something that I've been able to do pretty well. Keep the guys pumped up, keep the intensity up. That's definitely been a goal of Dutchie's this year, to keep the intensity up and keep pushing in those late minutes.
Yeah, it's hard too, I think, with the AUDL game particularly, because, you know, you're talking about keeping the intensity up. A, it's a longer game than we're used to coming from club. And B, it is regimented in a certain fashion, right? The game never really seems to me, as a spectator, well, I played it too, never seems to fully accelerate or fully slow down for you. It moves at the same pace. Whereas I think that's different from the club scene, where certain parts of the game, you know, scores in, I mean, you still score in bunches, but, you know, you don't run off time from the clock any faster. The clock moves at the same pace, and that's interesting to hear you say you kind of have to calibrate your energy as well per that 48-minute game.
Definitely. You know, having a really intense 5 minutes in the second quarter can be great, but if you lose the third and the fourth quarter, that doesn't mean much. So definitely through the full 48 minutes of the game, you need to stay up and intense.
Interesting. So talk to me a little bit more then, as you captain this ship of the Breeze D-line, you know, what do you consider your strengths? You played on a lot of teams in your career this far. You know, what do you lean on? Do you lean on something like handler defense? Do you lean on, you know, tell me how you think about your strengths on D-line.
Personally, I found myself to enjoy marking handlers. Mm-hmm. I like to get in there and do my best on the one-on-one matchups and to try and just take their man out of the play. Mm-hmm. If I can push him downfield, make him cut. You know, if I'm marking up on a handler downfield, I'm confident that I can beat him in the sky. If we can take the disc out of the best handler, make him cut, that's a huge asset.
So tell me more about then the holistic, I appreciate that you were able to talk to your individual, but as a captain, I would think that you have to characterize your group of players. You know, where are you most comfortable as a D-line saying, you know, here's what the Breeze can take away. You know, here's where I know our strengths lie.
Definitely. I think that kind of organically throughout the season, we have developed a very good team defense where it showed in our last game against Philly. We weren't exactly throwing a zone, but this help defense, this almost sag defense, really made them struggle.
Okay.
And so while we're working really hard with our one-on-one matchups, we've learned each other well enough to be heads up, to call the switches, to work the switches, to play, you know, last man back, help defense, and that's been really, really effective.
That's really cool, especially in a town like DC where you're drawing talent from so many different places. You've got all these guys coming in from college experience. You've got guys like yourself coming from the club mix scene, although maybe I'll get in a little word edgewise here. Congratulations. I saw the roster came out, I think, just yesterday for Truck Stop, a perennially national-bound open team, and then you made a roster spot, so congrats on that.
Thank you.
You know, in the past you played mixed, and certainly you're bringing in guys from the open scene as well. There might be, I don't know, a dozen? Is that crazy to say? A dozen club teams represented on the Breeze? So the fact that you're communicating, you've got a sag defense, you're getting help, you know, poaching off your guy, I mean, that's pretty impressive.
Definitely.
So that's really interesting to hear. So I alluded to it earlier. I mentioned it last week. I said, hey, if the Breeze are a 4-4 team, and you're talking you need to get to 8-9 wins to make this Eastern Conference Finals or Eastern Division Finals, you know, who do you look at on your D-line and say, I've seen glimpses of greatness, and here's a guy that I need, I hope, I want to see, I know can break out over the remainder of the season, and who should we watch for as we, you know, see the highlights on the internet and go to games?
Definitely. Well, you know, one guy that always flies below the radar but is one of the smartest defenders we have on the team and is consistently putting up Ds is Whitehat. He's an incredibly smart guy, and I always love having him on the line when we really need to get that D.
This is Daniel Selwyn, of course.
This is Daniel Selwyn.
No one knows that name. But yeah. People know Whitehat more than they know Daniel.
Yeah, I just learned his name was Daniel maybe a year ago. Whitehat. But also, patrolling the skies back deep is Dandrew Dallin.
Okay.
He, you know, when he's on the D-line, when he's sagging back, I know if the other team's going to put up something deep, he's going to bring it down. That's huge. And I definitely expect Troy and Antoine to fit in great, marking up on cutters and shutting down guys as well.
Nice. So those are two guys you've seen the glimpses and you hope either continue and also maybe, you know, continue to break out, I guess, really. I don't know if you could ever say that White Hat would be a breakout candidate, but in his third year in the league, as experienced as anyone in DC.
Yeah.
But Andrew Allen is a rookie, so hopefully we'll see some big skies out of him.
Definitely.
So tell me a little bit about this recent road trip. You were up in Canada. You played Toronto. You played Rochester on your way back down. When you're in D.C., of course, we've got some great fans out there. 300-400 people coming out to some of the games this year. But in Toronto, you might have double that. What's it like playing in front of that big old crowd?
It's intense. It's just louder. There's, you know, twice as many people yelling, screaming. It's a
Does
lot
that affect
of fun.
Your play?
I don't think so. I think, you know, from a young age, playing whatever high school sports, you kind of drown out everything.
Uh-huh.
You know, sometimes even the coach, you don't hear him on the sidelines.
Yeah.
So it's more so you're on the sidelines after a play, between plays, you know, before the game. And that's just something where mentally, if you've prepared, you can kind of sideline that and focus on the game. But it is really cool to be on that platform playing at that level with that many people you know are watching right there.
Yeah, so tell me a little bit more about that road trip. Some highs, some lows. You lost to Toronto, but then what happened in Rochester?
Yeah, I think that Toronto's loss taught us a lot. You know, we did fairly well in some of the quarters. The second quarter, we actually went 7-6. We okay. won the second quarter. And I think there's just moments.
So you can play with these guys.
We can play with them. And that's where I think it's just the mental fatigue where we break down and they are the better team. But we can keep building. Like you said earlier, we have a young team. And my hope is that we keep this core and we keep moving forward. That next year, the year after, you know, we keep going on the up and up.
Yeah.
The next day with Rochester was, you know, you saw the fatigue. You saw, you know, we had 20 players there for the whole weekend and we were tired, but that intensity, the grit that we've worked on the whole season was still there.
Mm-hmm.
And we were able to take Rochester down. It was a hard-fought game, but I thought the lines were called really well. And you have to give props to our coach, Sarah Ito.
Sure.
She was handling it by herself. And was doing a fantastic job on this whole road trip with Rochester and Toronto.
Made it look like a breeze.
She did. She was breezing right through that.
Cool.
She called some great lines, and fourth quarter there in Rochester, we had a really long, I think it was like a 3-minute point where we were tied 25-25.
Oh, wow.
And it just came down to grit where we broke them and ended up winning, I think it was 26-25.
So we've got the Breeze have a short history in these 3 years of play against Rochester, because when I played against Rochester in 2013, the game was an overtime game that included a 3-minute overtime point that we also came out on top of. So this is it's becoming a storied rivalry maybe.
Yes.
In some ways. That's exciting.
Familiar wins.
Yeah, cool. Well, that's good. It's good to hear. So that's the last two games. Now tell me about the next two games, because these ones have big playoff ramifications. We go against New York twice in a row, once here in D.C., once on their home turf. Tell me about what's going through your head going to play New York twice.
Definitely. That's been our team's focus. Maybe half an hour after the Philly game last week, we were at the bar afterwards, and we were talking New York.
Yep.
You know, the lines that we're going to have, some people are out, some, you know, who are we going to play? How are we going to set this up with our you know, O-line and D-line? And,
yeah.
And what do we need to do each game at a time, each practice, to put ourselves in a playoff position?
Mm-hmm.
So I think without a doubt, this coming Saturday game, June 20th, is... that needs to be a W.
So I'm about to flex my analytical prowess in the young sport that is ultimate. Looking at some numbers and watching some games myself, I've been at, I think, everyone but one. But I was at the New York game, of course. New York is a team that thrives on a lot of handler action. And they're a team that 50... Here's where I'm taking a leap, maybe. 45% of their turnovers occur in their first four throws. Meaning that, and not 50% of their scores occur in the first four throws. So what I am taking that to mean is that if you allow them to get their first four throws, they transition into these four-plus throws offenses that score the points. meaning that those first four throws are the most important ones to block, not because they're scoring on them, but because they're enabling them in their later throws.
They get into their flow. They establish their flow, and it's hard to break that.
Yep. And that's not true of every team. I saw this observation, and I said, I bet that's true of every team. It's not true of every team. And so I take that to mean this is a team that relies on their handlers to get things started. How does that impact the way you'll call lines, talk to the coaches, make your markups? You know, if I'm just telling you something new, you can tell me I'm full of it, full of hot air. Ho-ho! You know, how do you treat a team that's got, you know, some of these great, you know, Billy Katz, your hair brethren, I'll say. You both had mohawks and blue hair in the last year.
That's true.
Maybe the best hair for the two of you in the Eastern Division, although I don't know where man buns score, because Gru up on Montreal's got a great man bun.
That is a great man bun.
But I'm getting sidetracked here. You know, they've got a couple great handlers, Izzy Bryan, another one. And, you know, how do you stop these guys? What's the game plan?
Right. Well, I think one strategy we used against Philly, it kind of hurt Whitehat's pull percentage, but he pulled out of bounds every single time. So we got down there and we were able to set up, and every single time we were all the way down and set, and we were able to, from the get-go, stop any pull plays that we had.
Interesting.
And you know, we had some silly fans, you get it in bounds, you can't keep it in bounds, but that was
a strategic decision.
That was a strategic decision. It was the start, so that right from the get-go, we were getting the disc out of the handler's hands and into the weaker player's hands, into the cutter's hands, where then they would make the mistakes. And I think that's exactly the same thing we need to do. We need to put our big defenders, Whitehat, myself, I would say Ben Fang, Troy, on those handlers, push them downfield, push them away from the disc, make them go cut, and then let them turn the disc over.
Okay.
You know,
force so there's strategic
the
markup
hands.
Happening. There's strategery, to quote the late George W., that's going into the pools themselves. Have you watched any video yet of New York, or you know, how does that impact this equation?
Definitely. We after each game, say probably Tuesday, we get the full game footage, and we'll watch that individually. And then Dutchie will also break down the footage, and it'll make some key points to practice on.
Yeah.
So we can have focuses for our team, what we need to improve on, but then also watching our opponents, that'll help with our one-on-one matchups.
Okay.
So in the last New York game, my individual matchup was on Billy Katz. Funny, we share the same hair. We also, you know, share the same plays last game.
Got it.
And I just did a lot of watching his past plays. You know, he's
well, and now it's nice too, because you know, so you're at the point with video this year where you have existing footage of those same matchups.
And it's incredibly helpful to have this video. It's really great to see how the offense runs, to see who they like to center it to, what their pull plays are, and we can start implementing those changes. Because at this high level, just putting on a hard force flick or putting in on a hard cup, that's not good enough.
Yeah.
You really need to have personalized defenses for your opponents, each different one. So we're going to come at New York in a certain fashion. We're going to come at Rochester in a certain fashion. We're going to come at Ottawa in a certain fashion. And this game footage really, really helps.
Okay, that's exciting. And that's it's interesting to hear that the game is being taken to that level. So I appreciate it. Let me get into my last topic here, which I think is maybe the most emotional. You know, so we all don't want this season to end. The Breeze are 4-4. The three teams that are in the playoffs The three teams that are leading the East right now have a minimum of 6 wins. And this is now with, you know, 3 or 4 games remaining for each team. So that makes me think the Breeze need to get to 8 or 9 wins in a 14-game season to steal one of those playoff spots, have some chance at some single elimination games at the big boys. You've got a schedule coming up with New York, New York, two opportunities to play against New York, not just the location of the city and the song, that followed by Philly, Montreal, Ottawa, Rochester. A lot of those are winnable games. Are you looking at certain games there and saying, this is a must win? How are you planning for the rest of the season, knowing that, you know, that this the playoff looms and you've got to get, you know, 4 of these 6 at least?
Definitely. Well, I think we're going to take our Philly game and our Rochester game, and we're just going to breeze right through those.
Yeah.
Our focus and our talk for weeks now has been on, maybe, but I think we will handle those games.
Uh-huh.
They've got great players, but we're going to breeze through them. We've been talking big. We've got two more weekends. We've got our New York weekend and we've got our Canada weekend.
Yep.
And that's what we've been, you know, when we brought on Troy and Antoine, we were looking at availability. There were some players that just couldn't make that Canada trip. Both these guys are going to be here for both these weekends. That's been the focus.
Okay.
I'm thinking instead of winning, you know, four out of these five next games, I'm looking at the New York, Montreal, Ottawa, and I'm saying we need to win at least three of the four of those guys.
Uh-huh.
We win three of the four of those guys and Philly and Rochester,
You're looking pretty good.
And that has to start on Saturday with our New York game. On the 20th. I think it's going to be very difficult to come off of a loss on Saturday on the 20th, go up to New York, play an away game, and win that.
Yeah.
I think we can ride the winds of a win on Saturday.
Oh!
And take them again on Sunday.
Very nice.
Our battle has always been very mental with New York, so if we can take them down on Saturday, we'll take them down on Sunday. I was really bummed out our first game against Montreal that I couldn't be there. They were two of my favorite games last year. They were very close, but I think the one-point loss early in the season was not reflective of our stature against Montreal, and we're definitely going to take them down, but it needs to be taken seriously. And I think, you know, prepping this far in advance, month and a half, or so, we are going to be ready for it.
All right. Very, very businesslike. A good answer, and I think they're all meaningful games. So I think you're spot on in assessing it that way and then being as prepared as you can in advance. We're wrapping up here. That's, you know, all the big issues I wanted to cover. Is there anything else that you want to shout randomly into the microphone now? Because I'm going to start wrapping up.
Yeah, I want to give a huge shout out to the intern program.
Those guys have been great.
They've been amazing, and they're just always working kind of on the sidelines. You don't really hear about them, but you talk to one, and you hear about all the great things that they're doing. Right after this, I'm going over at 7 o'clock in D.C. for another little clinic with our intern, Erica. I had no idea she was doing anything until yesterday when I was at the Eric clinic.
Yeah, that's a cancer awareness, if I'm correct, and a big AUDL sponsor.
Definitely. Early recognition is critical. We were in Tacoma Sports Center yesterday.
Awesome.
And we just got interns in EULA, down the Youth Ultimate in Arlington. Arlington.
That's right.
And over in FAU, they've been doing a fantastic job really helping grow the sport, because I think we, as a professional sport, have the platform to help grow Youth Ultimate, and that's where it needs to go. If we want Ultimate to grow, it starts with the kids, you know, when they say, "Mom, I don't want to play football, I want to play Frisbee."
Yeah, I don't want a concussion.
Yeah, that's right, that's right.
Well, good, paying you respect again, because I turn over the mic and I get more wise words. I shouldn't have made an agenda at all, and I would have got 20 minutes of gold instead of this ups and downs that I've been leading us through. Couple things I want to call out. We had mentioned the New York game on June 20th. It happens here in D.C. It happens at Gallaudet University. It happens at Hotchkiss Field. We're all going to be there. It's going to be great. Breeze are going to show up. You heard Brad say here moments ago. We've got Rosewell playing a pregame concert of sorts. We've got our sponsor, Atlas Brewery. They're out. They're serving beer starting at 5 o'clock or quarter after 5, I think. Oak Creek Apparel, one of our big sponsors, always helping us get these games put on, as well as Waveborn Glasses, our community partner this year. Papa John's Pizza, they're putting on that halftime show. It's going to be a big production, of course, as always, with the live music and the halftime show, as well as, by the way, there's a game going on. So come out 6:30 on the 20th. Watch the Breeze take down New York. Again, thanks to Broke Royals for playing our theme music here. I'm Greg Esser. This was Brad Scott. You listen to Hot Air. We'll see you in a week or two with another update here from DC Breeze.
Thank you.